wrap up our new members class, our introduction to Colleyville Presbyterian Church. Really, what we plan to do today is just to take a little bit of time. I did this several months ago now. I just shared a little bit about my own life and history as a way to give you all a chance to know me better. And then several weeks after that, Lauren Clark, who's one of our elders here, also had an opportunity to do that. And today, as we close, I wanted to give Aaron and Jamie, Aaron Gentry and Jamie Pretty, an opportunity to do the same thing. I think, and the reason we're doing this is because I think that it's important for y'all to know the folks that are in leadership, that are in positions of authority and responsibility in regards to the church, in regards to your care, your souls, your lives. And so that's what we're doing this this morning for, to give you a chance to get to know these men better and to hear their stories and ask them any questions that you might have. And I'm sorry that between the rain and the holiday, I guess, there's so few of us here, but I guess we'll get this on tape and it'll be available for others to listen to if they desire. So Aaron or Jamie, one of y'all want to come? Do you guys draw straws or anything? No? Jamie's getting up. All right, great. So Jamie's going to come and share for a little bit, just maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and y'all can obviously ask him questions as he goes. Pass the mic on to you.
So, let's see here. My name is Jamie Pretty. I'm an elder here at Colleyville. I think I've been an elder for around, 8, 9 years? 10 maybe? It's hard to keep track. My 15-year-old was, I want to say around 6 months, a year old. So I guess I've been here around 15 years, 16 years. It's hard to keep track. And so when Josh came to me and asked me to, you know, kind of give a little bit of background about who I was just so that people could get to know me, I thought to myself, I said, are you sure? But no, it's not that bad. So again, my name is Jamie. I have a wife, Rebecca. I have 4 children, 3 boys and a girl. We have a grandson. I've been here in Texas for around 20 years, so this is the longest I've been in one place, so I figured I'm a Texan. I've generally lived in the South, but I've actually lived all over the U.S., lived in Georgia, Kentucky, was born in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, lived in Ohio, also lived in Southern California for a few years, could also say I'm from there, but it finally ended up here just immediately out of college and haven't left. Found my wife here, even though she came from California. She had actually moved down here from California, had been in Northern California all her life, San Francisco Bay Area, and she got here and I immediately saw her and didn't let her go. So let's see, where do we start? So I took a little bit of time last night. I called my dad. We had some family stories. I wanted to give, you know, Lauren gave a good detail of his background. I won't give as extensive, but I was kind of curious, you know, where did our family come from, and how far back did we know stuff about our family? So went back. It turns out we mostly grew up in the Appalachian, was where Pretty came from. Before that, it was actually England. So Virginia, Kentucky, and that surrounding area. Turns out, background on my mom's side, one of the more notable things was they were moonshine runners. And then on my dad's side, they were arms runners for the British during the war. And one of my, I guess, forefathers was a captain of one of the ships in the British Navy. So that's as far back as we go. And then as we move forward, we ended up settling in Kentucky. There happens to be a good concentration of Pretties in Kentucky as well as here in Texas, it turns out. In fact, there's a county, Pretty County, spelled same way my name is. It's P-R-I-D-D-Y. Also heard there's a cemetery that if your last name's Pretty, they'll bury you for free down in Houston. So, you know, so that was kind of interesting. But they're still in Kentucky. There's a place in Kentucky pretty close to Louisville called Pretty Hollow, which is where some of my family had settled. And it turns out that my great-great-grandfather was a pastor of Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Upton. He was a pastor all his life. I think he also pastored one other church, but was able to actually find the church. And it's a small church in the woods close to where my grandfather grew up on a farm. In that area. There's also next to the church, which at least from Google looked like it had gotten a new roof, so it looks like it was still active and there, although it looked pretty small. There's Pretty Cemetery, and so in that cemetery there's quite a few Pretties that are born there, and there are some actually kind of interesting stories about, you know, I don't know, I'd almost call them fairy tales, witches, and there's, I don't know, some crazy stuff in the family too. Anyways, that's kind of a little bit of the background that we came from. Our family was, on my dad's side, was missionary Baptist, and then on my mom's side was Lutheran. So when my parents met in college at University of Kentucky, mom had been living in Ohio where she had grown up, but that's where they had met at. I don't know the more notable things. My mom was into dance. She was a ballet dancer, had been invited to dance for the Dayton Ballet in Ohio, so was very big into that. And then when my parents came together, I was their firstborn. They moved and lived in Kentucky. I have a sister who actually lives in Southern California now, but I can't say that we were raised in the church. We were infrequent attenders of church. I think there was probably unsure as to which church to go to, Lutheran or Baptist. So there was probably a little bit of contention there. So we had ended up attending a number of Baptist churches infrequently. And it's kind of funny as you think back even over your own, I don't know, your own history, the things that kind of stick in your mind. I can remember attending Sunday school. I probably couldn't have been, I don't know, I might have only been like 4 or 5. Attending Sunday school and a profound question being asked by one of my fellow classmates to the teacher. They had told the story of Christ dying on the cross. And I guess maybe they had talked about the necessity of it. And one of the children had asked, so does that mean that the soldiers who had to crucify the Lord went to hell? And the teacher kind of not answering that. But for some reason, that stuck in my mind as, you know, wow, that was a good question. Even at that time, being able to go, that was a good question. What about the people that crucified the Lord? And for some reason, it stuck with me. And again, we were infrequent attenders of church. But as we go through, just little things like that would stick in my mind. When I was around, let's see, I guess when we were in second or third grade, my parents got divorced. Hence why I'd lived in a number of different places. So we had actually moved with my mom, my sister, and I back to Ohio and starting attending a Lutheran church. And so a little bit more exposure to more of a Reformed mode of worship. But, I mean, that wasn't really the thing that stuck out in my mind. I was baptized in the Lutheran church at that time when we were there. Attended that actually relatively regularly. And lived there. Then both of my parents got remarried. And fortunately to say that they are still married to their new husband and wife. from Ohio. After my mom got remarried, we moved to Southern California, Orange County, Yorba Linda specifically, and I had lived there for a while. My dad was actually still in Kentucky, so we would visit and go back and forth. But that's why we ended up being in a number of different places. So dealt with a mixed family and the challenges with that, because my stepfather had three children from a previous marriage. They all lived in Southern California, so when everybody was in Southern California, it was a packed house. But Southern California is fun. We used to ride to the beach on the bus, and a lot of things to enjoy there. And then as we moved on, I actually moved back to my dad's. It was just me, so my sister and I were separated for pretty much, I guess, the rest of our life. So we basically grew up separately from about, I don't know, sixth grade, seventh grade on. It's easier for me to remember the grades as the ages, however old you are at that time. And just moving forward, Dad got a job transfer, lived in Georgia. From there, just a little bit before high school, then all the way through high school and then college, attended Georgia Tech, same as Lauren. I believe we also got the same degree, electrical engineering degree. So had attended there, had a job offer to move out here. While I was at, through my college years, was not a regular church attender until my last couple years. Had always generally had an interest in the Bible and had read portions of it, but was, I didn't understand it. towards the latter part of my college years, I did have a friend whose father was a pastor at Pleasant Hill Presbyterian. It was a PCUSA church in Duluth, Georgia. It's a suburb of Atlanta. And had attended there regularly, me and several of my friends and my friend's father's church. And I think that was the first time I started to get an inkling of what the gospel was about. And if I were to say, when did I become a Christian? Honestly, I have to say, I don't know exactly when. But as I have grown in the faith, I definitely see spots in my lifetime where I've gone, oh, that's what it's about. And this was one of those instances, again, something that I recalled. I was speaking to one of the teachers at the church who was a faithful man, faithful family. Don't know how the conversation started, but he had said, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, well, how can you be sure of that? He says, Christ came to die for sinners. And at that point, I was like going, oh. For some reason, even though I had been in Baptist church, had heard Calvary spoken of and the good news of Christ, it wasn't until that point that I had a little light bulb go on. So just being the sinful man or young man at that time as I was, even though that light bulb had gone on, it quickly faded out again. And it wasn't so much, in general, just was what you would probably deem a good young man, not a lot of trouble, I was a pretty easy boy for my parents in general, didn't get in a lot of trouble, good grades, all that kind of stuff, some things that you would expect. So anyways, graduated college, moved out here to Texas, went to a number, actually moved to Denton first, was where my job was at, didn't really attend a church there, but had my job changed a little bit in scope, and I moved down here actually to Bedford at the time. This would have been about 19 years ago, I guess, and actually started looking for some churches, Presbyterian churches, and I was actually very close to here. There was a good chance I would have tried to visit this church at the time, but ended up going to a Presbyterian, I want to say it was probably a PCUSA church right over here, and then one down off of Davis, but it could have been very easy that I would have found Colleyville, but didn't. Didn't really find anything, and in general, they were older congregations. I didn't see many people my age, and so went and visited a few, didn't go, and then finally got invited to go to what was Fellowship of Las Colinas at the time. Felt pretty awkward the first time. The opening skit were a couple in bed on the stage. I was going, okay, I hadn't seen this. And this was the whole friend, you know, this seeker-friendly type of service, which I had not yet experienced. So that was unique. And that more from Fellowship of Las Colinas into Fellowship Church over here in Grapevine. But, you know, God had been watching out for me, and I had, you know, attended regularly, developed good friends, involved in Bible studies, and that was really my first time where I would say I was faithful to studying the Word, attendance at church, actually giving careful consideration as to how I was doing things and how I approached my life, and a little bit more developing a little bit more of a worldview. And it was during that time that I had met my wife. She had moved here from Northern California. Her parents had received a job transfer, and it was a large church, a lot of competition. She actually had had a friend move down here a little bit before her and had met her, and so on a Wednesday night service, I saw a blonde sit down with this other girl that I knew, so I went over and said hello to Denise and then quickly introduced myself to Rebecca. We were engaged in 6 months and then married 6 months later. So within a year, we were married. During that time, we were going through, I was in a young man's Bible study, and we were going through Romans. So a lot of things in there, I wasn't real satisfied with how people would answer. And this was a group of actually friends that we were going through, but it was a good, we were met regularly, and we had decided to go through that. And there was just not really satisfactory answers in my mind. It's not that I was extra smart or anything like that. It's just something wasn't ringing true as we had read it. And honestly, it was probably really my first time to actually read it. And as we were doing that, I started looking for answers because it was either the answer was not very satisfying, or it was basically, you know, don't ask those kinds of questions. And during that time, I was actually dating Rebecca. I was coming home later in the evening, like around 11, had the radio on, and somehow found the White Horse Inn, which was a couple of Reformed folks that had a radio program. If you ever heard it, I haven't listened to it for many years now, but Michael Horton out of Westminster in Southern California, and Rod Rosenblatt and Ken something. One guy's Lutheran minister, the other guy's Reformed Baptist. And they were talking about it, and they were giving some really good answers. So I listened, and just basically they referenced some authors, and so my first book really on the Reformed faith was, Luther's work. So that was my first one, and at that point, the rest was history. I was reading everything I could get my hands on in the Reformed faith. After a little while, had asked my pastor friend at Fellowship Church, said I wanted to go to seminary. Actually met Michael Horton and went and visited Westminster in Southern California. We went there because my family lived in, my mom and sister actually were still in Southern California. Went there, visited there. Was considering some things in the ministry. Was still unsure of any kind of particular calling, but wanted to go because this was where answers were being found. And these were the guys that were addressing a lot of the questions that I had. So ended up after. A little bit before I got married, I had my pastor friend write a letter of recommendation, and I got accepted over at Westminster in Dallas. Kind of funny that, that a guy from Fellowship would, you know, provide a letter of recommendation to go to Reformed College. I don't think he actually even knew what it was about. So attended there part-time for a good three and a half years. Actually attended there with Eric Pyle and Paul Buckley and a number of other men that are still here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and had taken classes all the way up to the languages. At that point, we had started to have children, and the time demands for that and work were a little bit beyond what I could handle. So the languages were really the thing. You could take it all summer long in an intensive course, or you'd have to spend a lot of time. And so at that point, I had not completed my degree, but took just about everything I could up to that point. The remaining classes, you had to have those languages, and just never got back to it. But after that, we jumped from fellowship, just was very unsatisfied with the seeker model. Seemed more therapeutic than anything. Went to Irving Bible, better. It was even funny, it turns out at Irving Bible, not sure if you guys knew this, but the original pastor over at Irving Bible, the current pastor's father was a Presbyterian minister who ordained Dale. So the pastor out there had some Presbyterian roots. He had attended Dallas Theological and had started that church. So they had some roots in that, but still more of the seeker-sensitive type stuff, interpretive dance and skits, and interpretive dance just threw it off for me. So, and I my mom was a dance teacher. I took dance when I was younger. So it's not that I was against dance per se. And then we were actually looking for a Christian school for our eldest, Preston, and visited there an open house, and then came over here and saw the bookshelf and go, hold on, this is what I'm reading. And we were here ever since. So, that's kind of my background, a little bit about me. I actually sell software. I'm a soccer coach, pretty heavy into that. I coach for a club here in the area. I've coached soccer for about, 15, 16 years. Have children one that's almost graduated from college, one that's in high school, Keller High School, a couple that have been attending Coram Deo up in Flower Mound. Preston had actually even attended here for a couple years. So we've been here in Texas, don't really have any plans of leaving. Just as best we can, seek to be faithful to our Lord, faithful to my children, to my church. To wrap it up, I was trying to think of, I've never been one real big on, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. If you have a verse that's, kind of your favorite, I would say that the verse that gives me the most hope would relate similarly back to when one of my light bulbs went off as to what the gospel was about. And that was out of 1 Timothy when Paul is speaking to Timothy about himself, but it has a lot to do with us. And it was 1 Timothy 1:15 says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom he was foremost. I am blessed to be able to say I'm glad because I'm a sinner. And, Jesus came to save me because of that. So I count myself upon the sinners. When I look at my life, as good as I was, there was a lot of sin. And, that's a hopeful verse for me, as I hope it would be for you. So I guess that was it. So thanks.
Okay. I could probably do this without a microphone, but then it wouldn't get recorded. So, mine's going to be pretty short because here's basically the testimony of my life. My life is boring and God is faithful. There is not a whole lot interesting to say about my walk with Jesus over the years other than the fact that he has been absolutely faithful to my family and to me from the time I was tiny. To give you the historical background, as Jamie and Lauren did, it's really simple. My family is Scottish and Texan, which means we have a propensity towards drinking, fighting, and bad teeth, and Presbyterianism. My mom's side of the family is McCam. My dad's mom's side of the family is Douglas. And so we've got Scottish all the way back. And yeah, we pretty much did the Scottish thing until we moved over here. And then I think as quickly as any of my ancestors could, they got to Texas. And we've been in Texas ever since. So I've got roots in Paris, Texas. And pretty much everywhere else in Texas that you can think of, I've got family members somewhere around there that have grown up and been there for a long time. My family grew up in, well, my dad grew up in Henrietta, Texas, which is a huge metropolis of about, 2,000 people maybe, right outside of Wichita Falls, Texas. And then my mom grew up actually in Wichita Falls, which is about 100,000 people. And it's right in the part of Texas that nobody really wants to live in. It's where all the tornadoes come. It's where all the drought hits. It's where all of the snowstorms hit. I mean, like any bad weather that you get, it's going to hit right in that region of Texas. And it's right on the border of Oklahoma, which probably explains a lot. Anyway, so they grew up there. They got married and ended up moving to Amarillo because my dad was an executive with an oil company. And it was in Amarillo, Texas, that I was born. I was born in a snowstorm, and then as my grandparents were driving back from coming to see me in the hospital, there was a sandstorm. So it's also beautiful weather up in Amarillo, if you've ever been there. It's flat, and so everything blows through that place. As my parents were kind of figuring out what they were going to do church-wise, my dad had grown up Baptist, and my mom had grown up Episcopal. And so they tried to find something that was a compromise, and they kind of ended up falling into Presbyterianism, weirdly enough, through my mom's connection to Young Life. It's not a connection that you often hear. Young Life and Presbyterian don't typically go well together, because Young Life tends to be more on the seeker-sensitive sort of thing that Jamie was describing with fellowship, and Presbyterians are typically not thought of as seeker-sensitive in any way, shape, or form. And so what happened was there was a group of people in Young Life in Amarillo that had all kind of discovered Reformed theology about the same time and had just become fascinated with it. And my mom worked with them, and so she and my dad began attending this newly planted OPC church, which for those of you that don't know stands for the Only Pure Church. And essentially what they did is they began exploring this with these people, was realizing that the doctrines of the Reformed faith were just scripture being played out in great detail. And so they began attending this church, which met in a YMCA for a while. And these are some of my earliest memories of church, was running around inside the YMCA while everybody was setting up furniture for church to start. And then eventually they ended up building their own building, and we attended that OPC church until we moved here. So in going into my fourth grade year, Dad got transferred. The company he worked for was Diamond Shamrock, and they split so that you had an exploration division, and then you had like their whatever else the other group did. And he went with the exploration division, which was called Maxis, and they were based in Dallas. So we moved here. My parents came down for like a week and a half, and they looked at pretty much every area in all of Dallas-Fort Worth to try to decide where they were going to live. Dad was willing to commute, so it wasn't a matter of distance as much for him, and they looked everywhere. What decided them on settling here was this church and the school next door. They met Dale, they met Helen Shepherd, who was the headmaster of the school at that point, and fell in love with both the church and the school. On the last day they were here, they bought a house almost unseen and ended up coming back and telling us, we know where we're moving, and we loaded up everything, and about a month later we were here. And so pretty much this church and the school next door have been a part of my life ever since. I graduated from CCA in 1995. We were the second graduating class. I was a member of this church until I think I finally joined the church that I worked for in seminary in 1999. So from 1986 to 99, I was a member here. And this church and this school were instrumental in shaping who I am. I grew up as a believer. There wasn't a time that I particularly remember dedicating my life to Jesus. I was baptized when I was about 6 or 7 years old. My parents had come too late to the infant baptism idea to have me baptized as an infant, but my brother and I were baptized when we were young. And pretty much I grew up my whole life trusting that Jesus was my Savior. But as most people do, around junior high and high school, I began to really kind of investigate what that meant for me to live out a life following Christ. And I realized that a lot of the things I just did because that's what everybody else around me did. I was in a Christian school. I was at a church where everybody knew everybody. I mean, my whole class went to church here. So I was with the same people all the time. And what I began to realize is that I had to really start conscientiously living out what it meant to make Jesus Lord of all things in my life and to follow him in a real sort of way, not just because that's what everybody else was doing. And I didn't do it perfectly. I still don't. I see these moments looking back through my life of times where I thought I was following God pretty well and I really was nowhere near him at that point. And then other times where I felt like I was doing a terrible job of it and realized God was just kind of dragging me along by the scruff of my neck. Ended up going to college in Mississippi, which was quite a culture shock coming from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, going to Jackson, Mississippi. But ended up having a great time there, had a lot of really close friends. Ended up on student government, which my experience with student government in high school had been my senior year in high school. We had drawn names out of a hat to determine who was an officer because there were 4 of us in my class and we had 4 offices for student government. So rather than do elections and make somebody feel bad, we just drew it out of a hat. So got in student government because I had failed to get elected in the freshman elections, and then the guy that I had run against ended up drinking himself out of college by the end of the first semester. And so I was approached by the president of the student government and asked if I would replace him. I was like, sure, I wanted to be on here anyway. And ended up sitting right next to a junior senator who was very tired of being on student government, and she was actually dating a friend of mine at the time. We got to know each other. They broke up. We started dating, and then we got married. So because of my friend's drinking problem, I met my wife. So, you know, there are good things that come out of even the worst moments in life. We got married. I was originally planning on going to seminary at Westminster in Philadelphia because there was a guy named Sinclair Ferguson that was teaching up there at the time, and I really wanted to study with him. But about March of the year that I was supposed to graduate college, Sinclair decided that he was going to go back into the pastorate and leave Westminster. And so I changed my mind, decided to stay in Mississippi and go to Reformed Theological Seminary there in Jackson. But we had built our entire wedding schedule around the fact that summer Hebrew started at a certain time in Philadelphia. And so we went ahead with all the plans as we had planned them. We got married. I started seminary, and I actually started working at a church 1.5 hours away from the seminary because it was pastored by the father of my wife's best friend. And he had called me and said, hey, we need a youth guy. Would you mind coming out and doing that? Met him, talked to him. So for 4 years, I drove, and my wife drove with me, 1.5 hours each way to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I got a lot of audiobook listening done in that time. During that time, we didn't really want to have kids because we had no money. My wife was working as a part-time librarian at Bellhaven. I was working as a very poorly paid youth intern at a small Presbyterian church in Philadelphia, Mississippi. And so we didn't even really try to have kids. We got out, and about my first year in seminary, God had convinced me that the ministry was not where I needed to be. We had professors in seminary that essentially said, if you can do anything else other than the pastorate, you should. And I was like, well, I can, and I kind of want to, so I guess I should. And I became interested in Christian education. I'd always been interested in teaching. I had a fascination of what was going on here at CCA, moving over to a classical education model. And so I just began focusing on that in seminary and ended up graduating from seminary in 2003. And Leslie and I looked at things and said, you know, we can live pretty much anywhere. Let's just apply a bunch of places we want to live and see what we get. And so I applied all over. And the two job interviews that I got that I liked the most, one was in Washington, D.C., and the other was in Roanoke, Virginia. And didn't know anybody in Roanoke. I knew the guy that was the headmaster of the school in D.C., and basically piggybacked on the D.C. interview to go down to Roanoke because they couldn't afford to fly me in even for an interview. And went down there, interviewed, liked it enough that I took the job without Leslie ever having seen the place that we were going to move to, and we ended up moving to Roanoke, Virginia for 5 years. It was a great time. We enjoyed Virginia. I know we've got lots of Virginians sitting with us today. I could easily retire to Roanoke, Virginia if I had to. It's just a beautiful part of the country. But it was during that time that Leslie and I discovered that we were unable to have children. And we began looking at medical options. The medical options didn't pan out. And so we began then looking into adoption. God moved us on from Virginia in 2008, and we ended up moving to Mississippi again, where I had vowed to God that I would never live again. And God, of course, has a sense of humor, and so he moved me back exactly to where I had graduated from. So we were in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was working at a classical school there. And we were only there for 2 years. The school I worked at was an absolute mess. The board had no idea what they wanted to be or do. I was brought in to try to shore things up, and then they decided they didn't want to pay my salary, and so they ended up cutting my contract. And that last year we were in Mississippi was just insane. Some of y'all have heard the story. A few of you, as I told you, Hannah's adoption story several years ago. But I firmly believe that we were in Mississippi at that time for two reasons. One, we needed to be close to family for a couple of things. And two, it was the place where we were going to get connected, where we would end up adopting our daughter. And I don't have enough time to tell you that whole story again, but it's a really great story. I will tell you this one little vignette. When we were in the hospital, we got the call the night she was born. Hey, we need somebody to adopt this baby girl. Okay, we'll do it. Can you be at the hospital tomorrow? Yes, we can. We had nothing. We had no baby stuff. We had no anything. So we drive to Memphis and show up at the hospital, walk in the door, and Hannah's birth mother's mother puts Hannah in my arms as we walk through the hospital door. And we start talking to them. I'm mentioning kind of how I grew up, telling them some of the same stuff I've just told y'all. And I don't mention any names. I just said I grew up, there's a small Presbyterian church in Texas. We have some friends of friends that know y'all because we had a connection with the birth family because of different people we knew. And the birth mom's mother looks at me and she goes, do you mean Dale Smith? And I looked at her and I said, how do you know Dale Smith? She said, he's the one that led my husband to Christ in college. And so through that connection, we discovered that God had been preparing that road for a very long time. And we were able to adopt our daughter. She has been with us ever since that moment we walked in the hospital and they put her in our arms. And Dale got to do her baptism. And so we moved back here after Hannah was adopted. We got her in February. We went to go visit my dad who was dying in March. The adoption was official in April. I found out I was losing my job at the beginning of May. My dad died a week later. We were here by the end of June, and I had started working at CCA August 1st. And so it was quite a whirlwind that God had brought me Mississippi, Virginia, Mississippi, and then back to Texas again, and ended up here at the same church and the same school where I grew up, And incidentally, we live in a house six streets down from the house I grew up in, that we had looked all over the area, and God just wanted us back where we started. So, again, there's nothing really super exciting about any of that. It's just kind of a normal story of moving around and being put places until you realize that God is the one that orchestrated every detail and that he has been, as I said, absolutely faithful in the things that he has done. So we got here, I guess it was 5 years ago, and started going to church here not too long afterwards. We looked around. I wanted my wife to be comfortable wherever we were, not just because I had been there. And so we ended up here. I became an elder 3 years ago, Jamie, is that right? I think that's right. And actually got to be part of the process and chair the search committee that brought Josh in. So it's been, again, God's blessing to see how he has been faithful to me, even when I am not faithful to him. And it's a blessing to be here and to be part of the ministry here. So thank y'all for hearing my boring story and knowing that God is faithful.
Stand and pray. Give thanks for God's work. Father, thank you for Aaron's life. Thank you for your faithfulness to him and his family. Thank you so much, especially for the way that you provided Hannah to he and Leslie, and just the story of your providence in that. Father, we thank you for the way that you provided through this church's history, leaders for the church, elders have been faithful. Pray that you would help the current elders to be faithful men as they seek to shepherd and guide your people here. We pray your blessing now today in our worship. Ask that you be with us and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.